as we speak, it's not about perfect moms. Kim, we had a Mother's Day tea on Friday, and Kim just taught the moms and encouraged us to not be guilty. We don't live under guilt. And this morning, I want to encourage you, moms, if what we say, we're not looking for perfect moms, because the only perfect mom is made through Christ. We've all made mistakes, and today, just open your hearts and ask the Lord just to renew whatever He wants to renew in your hearts. So nobody is perfect. You might think you're a perfect mom, but there isn't a perfect mom. We're just trying our very best to be mothers and do what God has asked us to do.
Cool. So we're going to do a kind of, I'll start, Adele will fill in, correct, and then I'll have a chance at the end to totally revise, edit, correct, and then we're going to pray for moms. Just a point to note, we focus on moms now, but of course, it's like with everything, you know, it's not moms are only important today. I hope the guys understand this. I know it requires a bit of explaining to husbands, but wives are important at all times. A stay-at-home mom whose husband is a professor at a major university had to socialize with men and women who were leaders in their fields. Not long thereafter, they were at a party. A woman said to her, knowing full well she was a housewife, in a rather condescending tone, "And dear, what is it that you do?" The husband heard his wife respond, I am nurturing two Homo sapiens into the dominant value of the Judeo-Christian tradition in order that they might become instruments of social transformation, preparing them for an eschatological utopia which God has envisioned from the beginning of time. What do you do? Yeah, let's pray. You are awesome. And we remind ourselves that in you both exist, Lord. Mothers, fathers, all of us. And in the church, you've so designed it that the lonely find family. All of us have that kind of testimony of not knowing true family until we've kind of come into fellowship, Lord. And I pray this morning as we hear your word of God, that we'd open our hearts to your plan. Yes, your word is perfect. And yes, we are not perfect. But through the Holy Spirit working in us, we can move in the right direction. And that's what we pray. We pray every heart today would be transformed. Every hurt would be healed. Every disappointment, Lord, would be ministered to. And that we would go away from here with a clear understanding of our way forward, healed, and trusting you. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to read 2 Timothy 1, 1-7. It's going to come up. This letter is from Paul, chosen by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus. I've been sent out to tell others about the life he has promised through faith in Christ Jesus. I'm writing to Timothy, my dear son. See, we find family in the kingdom. May God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord give you grace, mercy, and peace. Timothy, I thank God for you, the God I serve with a clear conscience, just as my ancestors did. Night and day, I constantly remember you in my prayers. I long to see you again, for I remember your tears as we parted, and I will be filled with joy when we are together again. I remember your genuine faith, for you share the faith that first filled your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I know that same faith continues strong in you. This is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid my hands on you. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. So we want to pay tribute to the moms today by looking at some of their role in our lives. It's interesting, Timothy had this incredible mission or job to do. Paul had planted this church in Ephesus. And if you read it in Acts 19 and 20, there was hostile kind of resistance. There was a fight to fight. You know, Paul fought some of his biggest fights there. And in Christ, led of Christ, he sends Timothy, his spiritual son. Now we know from the Bible, later on it says, Timothy, have a little wine for your stomach. I know our friends in the Cape have a little wine in case they have stomach ache. But anyway, it's not a good idea. But anyway, just have a little wine. He was a timid guy. He was nervous. But you know what? For this big task, Paul could refer to a solid foundation in his life. And that was that Granny and Mom were an example of faith. And you know, we say goodbye, we open the door, we educate them as best we can, and we send them off. But the foundation we put in their lives, they're never going to turn away from it. And we need to continually have faith, because that is what sets them up. More than the educations they get and the specific skills, it's what do we put in them when they're in our homes. Over to you.
Right, so that is wonderful to have. I've had a grandmother and a mother that taught the ways of the Lord. And so what can we learn from Lois and Eunice in the Bible? Lois and Eunice followed Jesus Christ, and their lives illustrated their faithfulness. Through the daily pursuing of God and His Word, and through prayer, we develop a sincere faith which can pass down to all generations. And I think that is what we want to pass down to all our generations. This morning when I was just preparing and praying, I just thought of Lindy and your mom, Wayne, your mom, your children. That's what it's all about. Granny to mother to children. And I was just saying to Pam today, her mom was a Methodist Sunday school teacher. My mom was not involved in the church. So it's starting with me now as a mother passing to Wendy and then Wendy down to her children. That's how God wants to bless the generations. Paul reminds Timothy that he is being prayed for and that he comes from a family of strong faith. Paul also reassured Timothy that they are both in service of the same God who gave them a spirit of power and of love and self-control. Timothy owed his preparation for life and ministry to his mother. I can say Craig owed his preparation for life and ministry to his mother. Yeah. No, that's just a little bit, but that's what we need to be doing. We need to be able to put into our children and just remind them that there was a mother and a granny and a great-granny praying for them. Eunice and his grandmother, Lois, were those two in his life. I might not be a Eunice or a Lois, but I want to be known as Adele, a godly example. That's what I want to be known to my children. I don't want to be known as anything else but a godly example. Our grandchildren, which we share, Pam and myself, and Marcus included with Wendy and Taryn, and then we pass it on to Titus and to Mila and Knox and Finn and Stella. We want to be known as those grandmothers that have prayed for them. We don't want to be known as the grandmothers that spoiled them. That's all part of it, but that isn't for eternity. Our prayers are what's going to keep them going for eternity. You might be spoiling your grandchildren now. And if you're not praying, maybe turn that around and start praying for them. So that's what we are building into. Pam and I always get a chance to say, let's keep on praying for our children. Let's encourage them. When it's difficult, share Jesus more with them. And that's our heart's desires. We leave footprints for the next generation to follow. Our family and our children and our great children follow in our footprints. What footprints are you leaving? Not perfect, but what are those footprints that you're leaving? I desire to have a family that they can see that we have put God first in our family. We haven't put anything but God first. That's what our desire is. And that they can also see that we have led people in a godly way. Not in our ways, but in a godly way, the Word of God. That's our vision for our family and for our grandchildren. We want them to follow in our footprints. Of course, there's lots of other things that we want to give them, but these are the greatest things we can give them because it's going to build them up for eternity. All right. Adele, we taught her children, I want my children to say our mom, my grandchildren to say our granny, in our family story. We are going to have a story for our family. And in that family, I want to be known for the granny that prayed, for the mom that gave them courage and told them they can do it. That's what I want to be known for in our family story. When our great-grandchildren and our great-children and our grandchildren are sitting around, I don't want them to be speaking about me, of what I gave them. That's important, but I want them to be able to say, wow, my mom taught us the word of God. My mom prayed for us. My granny was the one that stood there and helped me through difficult times and led me to Jesus and asked me to get closer to Jesus. That's what I want in our family story. So mom, a godly mother prays and reads the word of God. So if you're not doing that, start that. Not saying hours of prayer and chapters of the Bible, but start by praying and reading the word. She's a mother who has learned to trust God for everything. Be that mom that knows how to trust God. We need to know how to trust God. There's so many things that moms face every day. If you don't know how to trust God, call upon him. Because he says, as you call upon me, I will answer you. A godly mother is generous. Do we show our children what generosity is? Or do we just keep everything to us and our family? Or are we there teaching them what generosity is about? We've got extra food. Let's give a meal to somebody else. That's where we start. A godly mom is obedient to God, listening to what God is saying. How does she bring up her children in the way of the Lord? A godly mom has an attitude of persistence. She doesn't give up. When it gets hard and the teacher calls you in and the principal calls you in, you can keep going. It doesn't matter about the circumstances because God is the one that we can trust. Did you just take all my notes?
No.
Oh, okay. Okay. Has something disappeared, yeah, Marcus?
Oh, no. There.
You sure? Okay. I can see you working online, yeah? Don't add to my notes, please. Sorry. All right. What's happened? A godly mother has an attitude of persistence. All right. So we all want to set up our children for life. That is our goal in life. It doesn't matter how much finance you have, how many holiday homes you have. When I speak to people, the greatest thing they want to do is set their children up for life. They want their children to know Jesus, and we want our children to be healthy. Aren't those the two most important things? To know Jesus and to be healthy. And that's what we all want. There are many important aspects of setting up our children and grandchildren for life. Emotionally, mentally, physically, and spiritually. We have to play a part in setting our children up. It's not just going to happen. It's hard work. Does it just happen in your house that you read the Bible, that you pray, that you're loving, that you can? Does it just naturally come? No, no. Parents, moms and dads, you both have to have a part to set the atmosphere in your home and to set your children up for the greatest thing in life, and that is serving Jesus. So we have to play a part. Just one part that I feel that we need to play is protection. How many of us locked our homes up before we came to church today? Who put an alarm on? Who locked their car in this lovely car park here? We all did, because we are protecting ourselves. So how do we protect our children? So many of us put so much into earthly goods and earthly protection that we forget to protect the most important thing, which are our children right under us. So how do we do that? How do we protect our children? How do we protect their hearts and their minds? I believe it's by what they are filling their hearts with, filling their minds with, social media, TV, friends, what are friends saying about them? Who's struggling with all those things now as moms and dads? With all the things that your children's minds are getting filled with. And that's why we need to be helping them with that. We need to be giving them the word of God to replace that. They cannot run around with telephones all day Googling everything. And that is not what their mind should be filled with. Their mind should be filled with your voice as their mum, telling them about the Word of God and guiding them through life, not the voice of the TV and their friends. So many young girls are so influenced by what their friends are saying to them. It's amazing, and what social media is saying. But what is God saying to you? And moms, let's encourage them with the Word of God. God has called moms and dads to protect their children. This is just by the way now. Moms, please, 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 can you get off your phones? I have sat with so many moms, including my family, and you're on the phone all the time, and you're looking at your child, then you're on the phone. Put the phone down, put it away, throw it away, and give your children some attention. Everybody in the world will still hear you. They'll still see your Instagram post. But at that moment, your child needs you looking at them without the phone. That's just by the way, okay? It's not thus said the Lord, it's thus said Adele. Please, moms, try and put that phone down. You'll be a better mom because you won't be looking at all the Instagram pictures and how you should be, but just be with your children. Spend time with them. Look at them. All right. And another thing, by the way, is moms and dads, are you protecting your child's body? Now, that sounds wow. How are you letting your children dress? Sorry, moms, how are you letting your little girls dress? These little girls become teenagers, and then they become young adults, and then they become moms. And moms, if you are dressing like your teenager, then maybe also stop that. I just felt to put that in. Please look how you are dressing your little girls. Because our little girls become teenagers, and then we all run around to the teenager and tell them not to dress like that. But you were very happy to let them dress when they were 5 and 6 and 7 and 8. God has given us a responsibility to teach our daughters and to teach our grandchildren, and this is the time when they are young to teach them in the ways of the Lord. And that is part of showing them how to dress and to protect them, because every other person and every other man is looking at these little girls and saying, isn't she sexy? For a 9-year-old and a 10-year-old, then I want to really get very angry. Okay, but it goes back to our homes. Don't let your children be exposed and tell them how sexy they are at 12 years old. They're definitely not. And that is for them one day in marriage. So that's just by the way. Okay, I won't have any more by the ways now. Okay, material provision. We do that well, especially in our community. We provide for our children. We give them food. We give them clothes. We give them everything that they need. That is something we do well, and that's what God wants us to do, moms. So well done for doing that. Emotional stability. We need to teach them to cope with stress. Resist the impulse when they get impulsive, and adapt to change. Help them to adapt to change. Life is changing. Things are changing. Help them. Walk with them. Teach them. Teaching them to not get disheartened by setbacks. How many children are so disheartened, so depressed because they just didn't get that A? It's not now wanting a B and a C anymore. If they don't get the A, they are so discouraged. Life is hard. It's not going to always be an A. You're going to face very difficult things. We, as moms and dads, need to be teaching our children that there are setbacks in life, and we can help them. So teaching them to cope. Then spiritual maturity. The primary way that they did this was to teach Timothy the scriptures. Isn't that beautiful? They read the scriptures to him. They taught him the ways of the Lord. They prayed for him. And that's what brought spiritual maturity. How do we teach them from the scriptures? Set an example. Are you doing it yourself? I remember Wendy just saying to Marcus once at one of his birthdays, well, the greatest security for me was to see you every morning reading your Bible. And that encouraged me to do it. And I thought, that is wonderful. So set an example. Are you doing it yourself? Can they see your love for the Word of God? Do you read and obey and celebrate the Word of God? Then it's easy for you to say to them, are you reading the Word? If you're not doing it, you have no right to even challenge them. Read with them. If they're not old enough, moms, you read the Word of God to them. Make that a primary part of the day to read the Word. Not chapters, just a verse. Encourage them. Help them to apply the scriptures when they go through difficult times. Say the Bible says that Jesus will be with us. All on their level. Pray for them and pray with them. Pray for them and with them. Moms, you are so important in your child's life. You are so important in your child's life. You might think the teacher's more important or your auntie or their friend, but there's nothing like a mom in a child's life. And it never stops. When they're little, you are important. When they become bigger adults, and now even I can hear my two children wanting to always hear my voice. And that is what God has made us, to be moms that are strong in Him, not perfect again, but that just know how to trust in their Father. And we can go to the Father with anything. The Lord is waiting to hear the cry of the moms. When you are facing difficult things, God is there wanting to say, what can I do to help you? How can I teach you? And that's what His heart is. The Father's heart is towards the mothers. And so moms, just to encourage you, you are beautiful, you are amazing, and we celebrate you today, but we celebrate what God has done in moms' lives. Because without God, most of us wouldn't be able to be mothers the way we are. So bless you all. And Marcus is just going to pick up a few more.
Thank you. Thank you, Jess. Don't fiddle with the notes. This next part for us is very important because I do believe God wants to minister to us. First, I feel to moms who kind of are holding out, you're trusting for something. Who's kind of got unsaved family? As a mom, you know, some of the kids or some of the grandchildren aren't serving God. God promises us that, is that, you know, as one gets saved in the family, we can trust God for the rest. He wants them saved. And who's holding out for something? You know, like, I need a new job. Yeah, if I don't get a job and a raise, I'm finished. Some promises, I feel we can see them straight out of Scripture. They're easy to see. The scripture I'm going to read is about Abraham and Sarah. And we know the story. They were way beyond the ability physically to have children. But yet he still kept on holding on to the promise. And I feel this morning that God is wanting to minister into our lives and to be able to give us hope again to keep trusting him. Because he is the one who delivers. He is the one who restores. You know, we've seen it over the years, Adele and I, as we've prayed for family that are not born again, that God faithfully answers those prayers. It might not take 1 week or even a year. Some of them are years long, the prayers, but we keep trusting in him. You know, you think of the story of Abraham would be like, okay, I got the promise now, and in our understanding, tomorrow you should see the fulfillment of it, you know, but it didn't happen. That kind of famous incident where those visitors come to Abraham and Sarah prepares everything. You can almost expect that that would be when the announcement would come that you're going to have your baby now. But the promise said you are going to have one, and she laughed, almost in unbelief. You know, sure thing. She looked at her wrinkled body and her husband, the glint had gone out of his eye ages ago. But yet she held on to the promise, or they held on to the promise. And then in the ironical part about that all is, you will call your son Isaac, meaning laughter. She would never forget the lesson that God is the one who restores. So let me read the scripture. Romans 4:20 says, no unbelief made him waver the promise of God. That's Abraham. And he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. That is why his faith was counted to him as righteousness. He never stopped believing God's promise, for he was made strong in his faith to father a child. And because he was mighty in faith and convinced that God had all the power needed to fulfill his promise, Abraham glorified God. The phrase that I kind of felt that God was wanting us to be challenged with, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. You see, often we're fully convinced when the answer is there. Now we can say God is good. But we need to be fully convinced while we are trusting. It's not mental gymnastics. It's this thing of putting our faith in him and nothing else. Not the words that the enemy would whisper in our hearts that you're not a good mother, or you're not a good father, or you're pathetic, you're a loser, you're a single mom. You know, how can you even expect any of the promises of God to come true? You know, and some of us are waiting on God for the call. Some of us on God are waiting on God for some promises he made or the doors he's going to open. He will deliver. Abraham is our testimony. And as we go through many others in Scripture, we'll see it. God fulfills his promise. But our faith doesn't hinge on the circumstances. It hinges on him.